You are listening to an ADIS Journal podcast.
Hello, this is Nihar Desai. I'm an associate professor of medicine and vice chief of the section of cardiovascular medicine at the Yale University School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut. Welcome to episode 3 of this podcast series, exploring heart failure detection, diagnosis, and management for endocrinologists, primary care physicians, and non-cardiologist clinicians. I'm joined again by Dr. Wright and Dr. Inzuki to discuss the collaborative care model and specifically how it can improve outcomes in patients with type 2 diabetes. Please introduce yourselves.
Hello again. My name is Eugene Wright, and I'm a consulting associate in the Department of Medicine at Duke University and serve as medical director for performance improvement at the South Piedmont Area Health Education Center here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And I'm Silvio Inzuki. I'm clinical chief of the section of endocrinology at the Yale School of Medicine and medical director of the Yale Diabetes Center at Yale New Haven Hospital.
In the previous episodes, we discussed how heart failure is a common and sometimes underappreciated complication of type 2 diabetes, and that patients with type 2 diabetes often have multiple comorbidities, including chronic kidney disease and obesity, and that these conditions are in fact all interconnected and can culminate in the so-called cardiovascular kidney metabolic syndrome. This means that patients with type 2 diabetes are often engaging with multiple healthcare professionals with different specialties, and therefore effective healthcare collaboration may help improve patient care. Eugene, as an experienced primary care physician, what does collaborative care for patients with type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular complications look like to you?
Thank you, Nihar. In the majority of cases, primary care physicians are likely to be the most common point of contact for patients with type 2 diabetes, and therefore they play a vital role in the early detection of cardiovascular and kidney disease in these patients and are well placed to coordinate collaborative, person-centered care. The aim is for a core multidisciplinary team, including primary care, cardiologists, endocrinologists, nephrologists, and others as necessary to provide holistic care for patients with multiple comorbidities rather than treating each disease separately. And this is in line with the collaborative care approach recommended in diabetes and heart failure guidelines. As we discussed in a previous episode, patients with diabetes and heart failure usually have to make wholesale lifestyle changes, such as losing weight, increasing physical activity, and smoking cessation, as well as potentially taking multiple medications. Because of this, collaborative care for these patients can also include dietitians, pharmacists, nurses, advanced practice professionals, and community support workers to support the patients with barriers to self-care and to improve adherence to lifestyle modification and medication programs.
Yeah, Eugene, I'm just going to build a little bit on that. I think effective management of heart failure, particularly in patients with diabetes, really requires that comprehensive, coordinated approach, integrating multidisciplinary strategies to prevent progression of heart failure, improve medication adherence, and reduce hospitalizations. Hospitalizations are common for patients with heart failure, and there's a high risk of readmission following hospitalization for heart failure. There's a strong association between recurrent hospitalizations for heart failure and mortality. And for those with chronic heart failure, mortality risk is greatest after discharge from a prior hospitalization for heart failure. However, studies have shown that most hospitalizations in patients with heart failure are not for heart failure or cardiovascular causes. This is also seen in clinical trials, where a large proportion of hospitalizations in heart failure trials are not related to heart failure. In patients with heart failure, a greater number of cardiometabolic comorbidities, such as diabetes, obesity, and hypertension, are associated with an increased risk of all-cause hospitalization. This really highlights the clinical relevance of hospitalizations as a marker of disease progression and reinforces the importance of prevention of all-cause and heart failure-specific hospitalizations to improve outcomes for patients with diabetes. In terms of strategies to reduce hospitalization, one part of that is medications. However, low medication adherence among patients with heart failure is known to be a very common problem, leading to worse outcomes. In fact, studies of medication adherence in patients with heart failure have used interventions such as telemonitoring, patient education and counseling, nurse and pharmacist-led counseling, interviews, and support. Medication adherence intervention can significantly reduce the risk of hospitalization and death in patients with heart failure. Several studies have also found that standalone and multidisciplinary intervention strategies, such as medically tailored meals, heart failure clinics, telemonitoring, were all effective in reducing all-cause mortality and hospitalization for heart failure, but had less clear benefit on all-cause hospitalization. I think what this all demonstrates to me is the importance of a holistic approach to patient care, to treat the whole person, and the use of interventions to reduce risk across the board.
You know, it's also worth mentioning that this collaborative approach is achievable even for primary care physicians practicing in rural communities who may not have access to large multidisciplinary health centers. They can participate in virtual collaboration, as well as telehealth and digital health interventions, which have been shown to improve outcomes for heart failure patients in underserved rural areas. These approaches can also be used to spread information about proactive management of heart failure and raise social awareness of the risk of heart failure.
You know, I might add that a really important part of a coordinated approach is collaboration and communication between physicians and other healthcare professionals. So Eugene and I typically see patients with diabetes who are at risk for developing symptomatic heart failure. Here's what a coordinated care approach might look like. The primary care physician diagnoses type 2 diabetes in their patient. Initially, they will work with the patient to implement lifestyle modifications and start medication with the aim of controlling blood sugar and hemoglobin A1C. The patient may then be referred to someone like me, an endocrinologist, for a number of reasons. It could be the initial go at controlling blood glucose was just not successful, despite combination therapy. The PCP might then want some advice on the best next step. Sometimes referrals stem from side effects from conventional medications. We're often most helpful as endocrinologists in the more complex patients, particularly those on insulin, and especially if more than just basal insulin is required. The endocrinologist then might develop a new treatment plan focusing on controlling blood sugar and perhaps extending to other cardiovascular risk factors. This is often done in collaboration with a certified diabetes care and education specialist, or a CDCES. Those were formerly referred to as CDEs, or certified diabetes educators. So these individuals will work closely with the patient to provide personalized education, helping them to individualize the treatment plan to the needs of the patient. This could also extend to other comorbidities like obesity, hypertension, dyslipidemia, and even CKD. The focus is always on self-care and problem solving. Ideally, this would then be communicated back to the primary care physician with a plan for monitoring and follow-up, either through the PCP alone or through co-management with the endocrinologist. Now, as we discussed in an earlier episode of this podcast series, patients with type 2 diabetes are at increased risk of developing heart failure. In fact, just having type 2 diabetes is already stage A heart failure. So it's important for PCPs and endocrinologists to recognize this and identify risk factors for heart failure that might increase the chances of progression to later stages and also hospitalizations. These include kidney disease as well as obesity. I might also point out that even without heart failure, people with diabetes, particularly older ones, are at higher risk for all-cause hospitalizations, particularly those with suboptimal self-management behaviors and those with poor functional status. The primary care physician or the endocrinologist might then consult with the cardiologist for further evaluation of suspected heart failure, or, of course, if there's any suspicion of significant coronary artery disease. There should be, ideally, ongoing communication and collaboration to optimize patient outcomes and also to ensure adherence to guideline-directed medical therapy, or GDMT.
Primary care physicians should also consider coordinating the consultation of other specialties such as nephrologists, dietitians, nurse practitioners, clinical pharmacists, and physician assistants as necessary to manage comorbidities. Of course, as I alluded to earlier, there may be difficulty assessing these for some clinicians. However, in that case, I would encourage the use of digital strategies to support the management of comorbid conditions if possible.
Yeah, Eugene, I think with all that in mind, and knowing that having a hospitalization for heart failure is a big risk factor for subsequent hospitalizations. If a heart failure event or heart failure hospitalization occurs, this is an opportunity to implement targeted interventions across inpatient, transitional, and outpatient settings. We should be asking the questions: are there problems with medication adherence or GDMT optimization? Are there social factors that are contributing to poor self-care behavior or low medication adherence? Does my patient have poor mental health? Would my patient benefit from support in the community to adhere to lifestyle modifications? Should we consider medically tailored meals or referral to a heart failure clinic where they can get support from specialized nurses? Are there geriatric conditions that need to be addressed? What are the gaps in my patient's knowledge about their disease or treatment plan that we can all fill?
Patient education is a really important factor that can be coordinated by primary care physicians in collaboration with other healthcare professionals, such as diabetes care and education specialists. When patients are empowered to understand the link between diabetes and heart failure and to fully understand their treatment options, they are able to contribute to informed and shared decision-making and can effectively implement and continue with self-care and guideline-directed medical therapy, which can then improve outcomes and reduce the risk of progression of heart failure in patients with diabetes. There may be cost and insurance coverage challenges to access diabetes care and education specialists. However, physicians can encourage their patients to engage with organizations such as No Diabetes by Heart or local diabetes peer support groups where they can receive education and support. Primary care physicians could also incorporate informed and shared decision-making into their interactions with patients, where they can take a patient-centered approach, considering what matters most to my patient, having discussions with the patient and their caregivers so that they are informed and coming to joint decisions on disease management. And this is an approach that is recommended as best practice by both the American Diabetes Association and the American Heart Association.
So just to summarize, patients with cardiorenal metabolic conditions are often engaging with healthcare professionals at multiple different contact points. And that offers a great opportunity for collaboration between healthcare professionals and between healthcare professionals and patients, as well as their caregivers, which can really help improve risk reduction and patient care. This includes coordinated care, cross specialties, and within the community to support patients with medication adherence, lifestyle modifications, and crucially, education. Thank you both for this pragmatic discussion on how we can collaborate better as physicians to improve outcomes for our patients. And thank you all for listening. If you haven't already, please check out the other podcast episodes in this series to hear more from me, Dr. Nihar Desai, Dr. Silvio Inzucchi, and Dr. Eugene Wright about heart failure detection, diagnosis, and management for patients with diabetes.
You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS Journal Podcasts with your preferred podcast provider, or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements and copyright information, please visit the article page on the journal website. The link to the article page can be found in the podcast description.